Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. We're from Packers.com, coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, Sunday afternoon, it's almost here. Green Bay at Tennessee, Nissan Stadium in Nashville. When you talk about the keys to victory in this game for the Packers, I think it starts first and foremost with stopping the run. This is one of the top run defenses in the league with the Packers against one of the top rushing offenses in the league in the Titans with DeMarco Murray. The game starts right there, doesn't it?
I think it does. And DeMarco Murray, certainly, when you talk so much about Ezekiel Elliott this year, Murray's not far behind him. And while he doesn't have the most attempts in the league this year, mostly based on the fact that they've already had one bye, he's still a very durable. And I think when you look at his skill set and how it translates to this offense, it was a tremendous pickup for the Titans because he's fitting right in with what they've tried to do. Derrick Henry dealing with the calf injury now, so whatever snaps that they were allowing to take off of him, if Henry can't go, it's going to be a full dose of DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, for sure. And we've seen Murray against the Packers in years past. We talked about it earlier this week when he was with the Dallas Cowboys. But now this Titans running game is a little different from the Cowboys in that Dallas just kind of lines up and says, here we come.
Yep. Right.
Tennessee, we heard from the Packers assistant coaches yesterday. Tennessee does a lot of shifting and motions and this and that. And Blake Martinez talked in the locker room about how all of the shifting and motioning they do before the snap, they're trying to almost get the defense to be late with a communication call or late with a check, so then they're not quite in the right position for that running play wherever it's coming at you. So this is a little bit different schematically, but nonetheless a heck of a challenge for the Packers.
Yeah, absolutely, and I like how you put that too, because I mean with the Cowboys it kind of is just here it is, try to stop us.
Here we come. Yeah,
The Titans certainly don't have a line that is as veteran and really talented is what the Cowboys have, but there are a lot of pieces there that you have to like, and certainly when you look at what they've built over the last couple of years, they've been building towards something that's more like that. And I think when you look at Mariota and his running style, what he presents as a passer, you want a running game that's going to complement that. They felt like DeMarco Murray was the right direction to go for them, and in the Green Bay Packers, they've seen him before. I mean, they've only caught him one other time in the regular season, and he ran for 134 yards, so they know the task that's at hand, and now trying to stop him, that's going to be the first and foremost objective going into this game.
Yeah, and not that rankings are everything. The Packers began this week number one in the league against the run. They've actually dropped to number two now because the winless Cleveland Browns managed all of 33 rushing yards against the Baltimore Ravens.
You called this.
Yeah, against the Ravens, who were number two coming into the week. The Ravens now have dropped their rushing yards allowed average to 71.3. It actually dropped almost 5 yards a game because of the victory over Cleveland Thursday night. And so the Packers at 75.8, it'll be awful tough for the Packers to regain the number one ranking. But the bottom line is if they can contain DeMarco Murray and do a good job, I think it sets them on a path to victory.
Yeah, and I mean, let's be honest here. It's not about what they're ranked. I mean, they just want to be able to stop the run. If they can, you know, get on a run here, win 7 of 8, and they end up 8th or 9th in running, and they've, you know, faced some pretty good running backs, I don't think anyone's going to care that much. But it is what it represents, and it represents consistency. It represents being able to week after week, set the tone with that defense. And these last, past few games that they've come up on the losing end, they've still been able to set that for the most part, with the exception being of Dallas. It's going to be, though, trying to really keep them in more third and long situations. I thought that was one thing. Even though they did a pretty good job against the Colts, they still just have a few too many plays where they were in second and third and short situations. Get it back. Try to stop Murray at the line of scrimmage. I think that's how you're going to really be able to have a lot of success against Mariota.
Yeah, we haven't heard from anybody in the Packers locker room that this is any kind of a redemption game for the run defense after what Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys did earlier in the season when the Packers were ranked number one. But I got to believe they're going to take a little pride in what their season average is, where they are currently ranked, and they, I mean, they can't let it happen again. They can't, you know, Ezekiel Elliott had 157 yards. I actually counted it up the other day. 67 of those yards were in the fourth quarter, yeah. Which I think was really the most demoralizing thing in a sense, because it showed that the run defense did get worn down. They couldn't sustain it for four quarters when they really needed to. I think there is some pride on the line for this run defense and what they stand for with this challenge on Sunday.
Well, and all you have to do is talk to Mike Daniels. I mean, his comments coming out of that game against Indianapolis, I mean, he was disappointed. Even though they did hold him to 3.0 yards per carry, 3.2 against Frank Gore, they just were able to get the yards when they needed to. They were able to get the first down with Andrew Luck with the read option when they needed to. The one thing that was the common thread when they had those dominant performances earlier this season is just really having a suffocating approach where the offense can't get into rhythm whatsoever. It starts with the run, and I think if you listen to Daniels and him saying that he hopes that nobody had a good night's sleep this entire week, that they come out more agitated, more angry, and just really, you know, try to get back to where they were playing, because the pieces are there. That's the thing I think everybody realizes. Even if you don't have Clay Matthews, you still have the necessary guys there to get the job done.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we've got some more keys to this game to break down after the commercial break. We'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, the other element, and it's a big one to the Tennessee offense, obviously, is former number two overall draft pick Marcus Mariota at quarterback. And the Packers have had their issues with the pass rush, obviously, the last couple of ball games, and you're going to be without Clay Matthews. We found out on Friday morning from Mike McCarthy that Matthews would be declared out for the Tennessee game with the hamstring injury. So you have to try to, again, get after the quarterback without Clay. But that being said, this maybe is a little bit different game in terms of the goal of the pass rush, because, boy, Mariota can take off and run. He's faster than a lot of linebackers in this league.
Yeah, he is, Mike. And that was the one thing that kind of, I don't want to say concern, because that's not the right word, but it just is somewhat alarming with not having Matthews for this game, because he is the best guy to have against those type of quarterbacks. I think when you've seen the Packers in these recent years have more success against Colin Kaepernick, there's a direct correlation to Clay Matthews' play and being able to really keep somebody on his heels. Well, now you have Mariota. Everybody knows what his 40 time is. Everybody knows what he can do if he escapes the pocket. You know, who do you use to potentially spy him, or how do you try to defend against what his skill set is? That's the biggest area I think Dom Capers and his defensive coaches are going to have to figure out and really determine what's the best course of action for attacking him, because when Matthews is on the field, I think that he's the perfect, really, antidote for being able to defend against those type of players.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and I think the other thing we heard, too, from cornerbacks coach Joe Witt Jr. in talking about facing a guy like Mariota who can scramble and extend plays and whatnot, his phrase was, we have to plaster the coverage.
Yeah.
You have to stick with these wide receivers, because these plays can last a little bit longer with the way he can run around and try to make things happen. And as far as just the scrambling ability for the rushing yards part of it, last season as a rookie, Mariota, I believe, had an 87-yard touchdown run in a game. I think he had a 14-yard touchdown run last week against the Chargers. And this is a legitimate running threat. He's probably, if Derrick Henry certainly doesn't play in the backfield, he's the number two running threat next to DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, no question, Mike. And that's a big thing, too. I think that's interesting about this game. They're different teams. They're at different points in their careers when you look at Rodgers and Mariota. But it's so funny how many parallels there are between them, how many similarities there are when you look at Dom Capers in the zone blitz, Dick LeBeau and his version of the zone blitz. Mariota, what does he do well? He escapes the pocket, extends plays, looks downfield for something to develop, much like Aaron Rodgers, even though maybe Rodgers doesn't run as fast as Mariota does.
Yeah, not quite as
so
fast.
I think that's really the thing that's the one of the really interesting storylines to this game, is that it's almost like a very similar I don't want to say older brother, younger brother kind of feel to this dynamic in terms of how it plays out, but they're just, they both do certain things really well. And to be honest with you too, they're both at a point in the season which they desperately need a win. I mean, the Packers want to get back above 500. Tennessee wants to pull to 500. So that kind of give and take and that tug of war is going to be one of the really fun things to follow in this game.
Yeah, and statistically too, when you look at this Tennessee passing offense, Dom Capers was very quick to point out to the media, Mariota's two leading receivers are his running back, DeMarco Murray, and his tight end, Delanie Walker, which speaks to how much play action pass they run off of the running game, because when your tight end is that productive, that's a lot of play action passes that frees the linebackers, and then you hit that tight end in over the middle or down the seam when you've got a bit of an advantage there because the front seven is so focused on the running game. So this is a big challenge for the Packers defense. If there's one vulnerability, I guess you might call it, with Mariota, it's the turnovers.
Yep. Right.
He's thrown 8 interceptions. He's fumbled the ball 7 times, losing 4 of them. I believe the Titans have actually given up a defensive touchdown to their opponents in 3 different games this year, and they've lost all 3 of those games. So the Packers need to take advantage of that. If there are opportunities for a fumble to get your hands on an interception, they have to capitalize.
Well, one, he's a young man. Just like when they saw Blake Bortles is here, he's going to be prone to making a mistake through the air. But really, that's the one area of weakness when you look at his, you know, his scrambling ability and his, you know, when he does carry the ball, it's protecting the football. Putting it on the ground 7 times in 9 games is a lot. Losing 4 of them really speaks to them not really having anybody around the ball at that time, which might be a product of Mariota being as fast as he is.
Right.
So that's the thing about the Packers is, and I'm sure Dom Capers and Joe Witt and everybody's stressing that this week, if there are plays where he gets in the open field, if there's our chances to get a hand on him and before he does slide, you have to be thinking of that football because that's the one area of the weakness. And you want to make sure you get that in his mind, that uncertainty that, okay, if I do take off, they're coming for the football. And really, that's where those big plays can kind of develop on the defensive side of the ball, as you illustrated with those stats.
Yeah, for sure. And we talked already about, obviously, the Packers will be without Clay Matthews in the secondary. It appears Quentin Rollins came out of the Colts game no worse for wear. Demarius Randall returned to practice in a padded practice on Thursday on a limited basis. Now, with the amount of time he's been out, it would still seem to be unlikely that he would be right back into game action this Sunday, but a good sign moving forward for the secondary that Demarius Randall maybe is on the comeback trail here.
Terrific sign, you know, for a young man that obviously, as Mike McCarthy said, had surgery to repair that groin issue for him. So for him to be able to be making those strides already, being able to get back on the field, that is really important, I think, as you look towards the end of November and getting into December and when they're really going to be needing him. And I thought another positive too, Micah Hyde, with the shoulder injury.
Yeah, are you kidding me? He's right back out there. Huh?
Right back at practice. I don't know if I've seen anybody leave a game with an injury and either come back or be at practice the first Wednesday afterwards like Micah Hyde. I mean, that young man continues to really surprise me. And he's a pretty important piece of this puzzle, too, because it keeps Quentin Rollins outside if he's able to play.
Yeah, and he could be a key coverage guy against Delanie Walker, right, that tight end as well. We'll see how that develops. But we'll throw it to a break for now and back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkiewicz there. Wes, we'll switch to the Packers offense now, taking a look at this. I know you mentioned some of the similarities, you might say, between the two quarterbacks and how they go about things, but schematically, from an offensive standpoint, this is going to be kind of an old-school Titans running game against this somewhat newfangled, do whatever it takes Packers offense that we've seen the last few weeks and dealing with the injuries and going with 4 and 5 wide and Ty Montgomery in the backfield and all that. The Packers are going about it in an unconventional way, but it's starting to become more conventional for them now because we've seen it over the course of several weeks.
Yeah, and you're seeing the Packers now start to pull up back into the top half of the league when you look at their points scored, 24.8, good for 11, 350 yards per game, now up to 16th after being in the latter half of that group through the first few weeks of the season. Mike McCarthy said when he came to the podium on Thursday that this is here to stay. even if they are able to get everybody back offensively that they want, they're going to stick with this because it's working and it's getting the quarterback in a rhythm. And I think that's really the big thing for Aaron Rodgers, is that even though this puts more stress on him, as Mike McCarthy said, 21 different personnel packages that they've incorporated into the game plan this week, it's a lot on Rodgers and it's a lot on his shoulders to make those things happen. But we're talking about a two-time MVP quarterback that is about as smart as anybody as you're going to find, not only in that locker room, but in the NFL. So those are all the things that I think can really help, along with, as McCarthy said on Friday morning, Randall Cobb will get his full allotment of reps. Having him back in a full capacity, having Ty Montgomery back in a full capacity,
yep,
that's the bread and butter of this offense right now, and they've been missing that the last few weeks.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll see as the weekend goes along and as Sunday's game develops, how much James Starks potentially plays, sure, if he returns. Jared Cook has maybe the possibility of still playing, although it sounds like from Mike McCarthy that Jared Cook is not as far along in his recovery as James Starks. But again, another wait-and-see situation. But as you said, even if and when those two guys come back, the current structure of the Packers' offense is really going to be their foundation now going forward.
Absolutely. And Cook did say, too, on Thursday when he met with the media that the doctors had told him it was about one more week to go. So if he can get back on there, that's extra credit. But by no means is he behind schedule. This is kind of what they foresaw for him in his recovery. And I thought it was really interesting when he spoke to the media that, you know, sitting from the sidelines, he's really excited by what he's seen in terms of them opening up the offense and incorporating the different types of packages. But he said, just imagine what you can add when you can do more two tight end sets, when you can do more different things with Ty Montgomery and James Starks. That's one of the really kind of underlining factors, I think, that could really be successful for the Packers in the second half, is if until whenever, assuming or not assuming, Eddie Lacy comes back, whatever his situation is, you know, being able to use Starks and Ty Montgomery maybe in a thunder and lightning kind of way. I mean, someone that's more of a traditional guy and someone that's a little bit more non-traditional. I think that's what excites not only Cook, but that entire locker room, is just the possibilities there of when those guys are back on the field.
Yeah, and excuse me, Mike McCarthy doesn't necessarily get into a whole lot of details with the media in discussing this, but I find it remarkable that he's talking about having 21 different personnel groups in a game plan going into this game. Now, that's not to say that all of them will be used, because injuries and whatnot and these players who are maybe on the bubble, that will dictate maybe how many of those 21 personnel groups, but it's an illustration of just how much the Packers coaching staff is juggling here in terms of trying to get the best players on the field, trying to get the opportunities to move the ball and move the chains with those best players that that are on this offense. It's a lot to handle.
It is. And you look at the years, though, in the past of when they've been successful. As McCarthy said, when they were running the no huddle, it was about 6 to 10 plays, or 6 to 10 packages on the ready list, which is understandable. I mean, you're calling things quickly. You're trying to get up to the line of scrimmage right after every play. Well, now they are huddling more. They are slowing things down at times. And that's sometimes what you have to do. I mean, there's opportunities still for Aaron Rodgers to catch defenses with, you know, 12 men on the field or get them off sides. But at the same time, you also want to be cognizant of the personnel you're using and allowing guys to be in situations to be successful. That's why I think when you look at the first half of the season, it's impressed me what Mike McCarthy's really been able to come up with, not only in diagnosing what the offense needs, but being able to execute it. Because it just seems like when you are able to run more play action, when you're able to get Rodgers outside the pocket and comfortable, that's where this offense really can blossom. And with Jordy Nelson working his way back now and getting more comfort, I think that's, especially on the offensive side of the ball, there's a lot of potential here in the second half of the season for them still.
Yeah, for sure. And I think where we need to see, and Aaron Rodgers talked about it, he feels like the offense needs to start games better, needs to come out of the third quarter playing better after halftime. And we'll see if they can get that started on Sunday afternoon. So with that, we'll throw it to a break and back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, quickly before we go, let's take a look, as we usually do at the end of the week, at the slate of games coming up here in the NFL. And boy, you look at this. I'm just going to rattle them off here, Wes. Kansas City at Carolina, Denver at New Orleans, Atlanta at Philadelphia, Minnesota at Washington, Dallas at Pittsburgh, Seattle at New England. if I weren't spending Sunday afternoon in the press box in Nashville and then flying home on the team plane from Tennessee, not that I'm complaining, that's my job and I love it. But boy, I'd be settling into the couch for one heck of a Sunday of NFL football.
Yeah, if you're lucky, you might get back in time for Seattle and New England.
Yeah, that's true. We might get home in time for the night game there.
Yeah, but I think the thing that really stands out to me the most, I really am excited by that Denver-New Orleans game because you have a team in Denver that's still trying to find itself offensively, and then in New Orleans who really is having an issue stopping anybody. So Drew Brees versus that defense I think can be really exciting. And then also from the Panthers' perspective, I mean, you look at the Panthers and both the Vikings, those are tough matchups that they have to have here coming up. And
yep.
To be able to, for the Panthers trying to climb back to 500, having to get past Kansas City, whose defense is really tough, and then Minnesota trying to get back on the winning side of things against a really game Washington team. So
yeah, and Washington playing at home a week before they're going to be hosting the Packers. This is back-to-back NFC North visits to D.C. With the Redskins handling those.
It's a tough one. And then certainly you look at the Bears. I mean, they have a chance to try getting back in this thing in a winnable game against Tampa Bay. So yeah, overall, I just think there's a lot to look forward to with this. And certainly from the Packers' perspective, a really interesting game against Tennessee that I think everyone in the NFC North, including Detroit, who's on a bye this week, will be paying very close attention to.
Yeah, for sure. As you said, the Lions are on the bye. They'll be hoping for the Redskins to knock off the Vikings and knock them down to 5-4. And also the Atlanta Philadelphia game. You know, Falcons are playing some awfully good football. They're on top of the NFC South. Philadelphia trying to get back on the winning track. They've won only one of their last five games. That one win was against the Vikings, and it was a very impressive one. But Philadelphia trying to get back above 500 here with a home game. And again, that's another opponent the Packers are going to see in a couple weeks.
Yeah, in Atlanta, I mean, we saw, I mean, this is a team that offense can go. I don't really know a whole lot about Philadelphia's defense this year in terms of what Doug Peterson's kind of put out there. But I think that'll be really good film for the Packers when trying to figure out those common opponents and seeing how, you know, certain teams play teams that they've already played. But certainly from both Washington and Philadelphia's perspective, as we talked about earlier this week, those teams trying to stay in the NFC East race, it's going to be a tough competition for them.
Yeah, for sure. The Eagles really got after Sam Bradford and the Vikings. We'll see how they do against the Falcons. But we'll call that a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy the game. We'll see you next time.